right, greetings, welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 108, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studio in downtown Wheeling here on a post-election day. Oh, I'm a little bit tired. I'm dragging through this show, but I'm going on adrenaline, and we'll see if we can get you some winners for the upcoming week throughout the sports landscape here, as this is the Pine Room Studios official sports betting show. That is Better's Last Stand. You can hear the second segment of the program on the Watchdog Network on Fridays. This week it'll be on watchdognetwork.com because we have West Virginia basketball. I said West Liberty. West Virginia basketball will be in action on Friday night at 6 o'clock, so they'll be picking up the coverage there. So you will see us on our Football Friday, or hear us Football Friday ending, and then I believe it'll go into the Mountaineer pregame. But you can find us. This show, the portion of the show that we usually put on the Watchdog, will be on watchdognetwork.com, along with our two games that will be on watchdognetwork.com. You have two streaming options. You can listen to John Marshall at Wheeling Park, and that's a 7 o'clock kick. And then at 6 o'clock, it's Wheeling Central taking on Shady Springs. So Wheeling Central making another long road trip. West Virginia and Cincinnati, also available on watchdognetwork.com. That will be at noon on Saturday. Browns are off this week. All right, let's get down to it here, recapping last week's Better's Last Stand show and what's been going on in sports and other gambling markets across the globe, so to speak. All right, we had a really good week last week. Some winners that we had out on future tickets came home. We had Ryan Blaney come home. We had some horses coming in for us, including one of our I think it was our best bet in the 12th race, which we took home with a nice winner at the Breeders' Cup. So yeah, it was a good turnout for us as far as return on investment last week, and we're happy to have gotten home and got the job done. We were up over 60 units. We were up 60.40. So that is incredibly good. Maybe one of the best weeks we've ever had. I want to say that we maybe had like an 80. Well, we did. We definitely did. We had a couple of 70s and 80s because I know we had a golf. One time we had Matt Suyama at 75-1 with some other winners. But then we've had some times where we've hit giant tickets and we've had losers. So it keeps us afloat. So this week would have been one of those weeks where we did pretty good in some sports, not so good in the other ones. Let's recap the action. CFL, we were 1-3. CFL, I've just never been able to get a handle on it to where I can go on decent runs. Like I'll go through a stretch where I'll be pretty on top of it. I'll feel like I got a good gauge on this. But then I'll go into these terrible lulls where I just can't figure out the totals and some of the other just the sides. I don't know. It's a fun league. I like it, but it isn't as easy to handicap as not that any of this is easy, but it's not as easy to handicap it as some other things. So we'll continue to try. I mean, I'm not going to give up. That's the one thing about it. I'm not giving up on that, but I'm hesitant. Maybe you scale down your bet a tad bit, but nonetheless, 1-3 in the CFL, not our best effort by any means, but we'll recap that, or we'll actually talk about what we like this week in the second portion of the program. UEFA Champions League, we were 3-0. We're heading in today. We're 3-0. We swept the board yesterday, or as we record this show. We have three matches going on right now, and actually one we had. Oh no, okay. So we're 1-1. We're 1-1 so far. We had both teams to score in Bruges and Aston Villa. And I don't know how Aston Villa didn't score a goal. Bruges usually gives them up for fun, especially at home. Bruges wins that one 1-0, and then Shakhtar Donetsk and Young Boys. Oh no, we didn't give that one out. That was one I just played today. That was an early add-on. We have Atalanta and Stuttgart under 3.5. That game, actually, as we speak right now, Atalanta just scored to make it 1-0. And then the other game we have, I think Inter Milan and Arsenal. I believe we have both teams to score. Now we already have Inter Milan on the board. These games just coming out of halftime. So got a shot, a reasonable shot at 5-1 here in the UEFA Champions League. But we got three in already that we count on the tally. We were 6-2-1 in the English Premier League this week. So that's always good. We've been on a pretty good run with the English Premier League over the last few weeks. I would say the majority of our plays have got there, and we've had some really, really good weeks, and we've had some so-so or pretty good weeks. So, nonetheless, a solid week there in the soccer front. 8-6-1 are in college football. Best bet was Navy. That was a loss, so we are 4-7, so a little over 500. We did have South Carolina, a money line and plus the points, so you could have hit a double dip there. We also really like SMU. Actually, probably should have gave out one of those two as my best bet, but I thought Navy coming back would have been good, but Navy maybe is exposed now. Maybe they're just hitting the wall a little bit, I should say, but we don't know about that. All right, NFL, we were 5-6. Best bet Baltimore, team total over 7-2 for those. World Series cash for us. We talked about it last week on the show. Could the Dodgers do it that night? That was game 5. Dodgers get it done. Dodgers minus 130. Boom. That's a winner. And a 6-1. A nice 6-1 ticket on the series to end in 5 games. Dodgers to win it in 5. So we hit that one with 6-1. We were up over 40 units at the Breeders' Cup, as I mentioned. The number 3 horse, Fool Serrano, comes in at about 14.5-1. He was like a 28.80 pay for the win. So the way that I calculated these, I don't know how people decided to play them, but I just did it as the most basic way possible, is calculated all the horses that I gave you in a win place show, bets for each of them, and then exactas for the boxed up horses that I had. So when you put in what I put in and what we got out of it, we are up over 40 units. Now that unit is basically a $2 unit when it comes to the horse race. So however you want to add that in, I added it in as a 1 unit in the overall units for the week for 60. So actually, we were probably up closer to 85 units, but I'm not one that's going to, you know, be touting and patting myself on the back for any of that stuff. So we're just happy that we're getting winners. We're having shots at winning stuff in each and every week, and we continue to, you know, if you're following along with it and you're scratching these out and you're even playing just sports specific and you're only following one sect of our plays, then chances are you're doing okay, unless it's maybe CFL or NFL. NFL, a couple weeks ago, we were good. We're so-so. We're always around 500 or a little bit better or worse. Best bets have been pretty solid there, but nonetheless, we did well in the Breeders' Cup. It was a good one. I wish I had more time to dedicate to that, because I could have given you probably like 12 to 15 more races where if I would have just had a little bit more time to handicap them. I was seeing the ball pretty well there on Saturday. Every horse that we had was running up in the top 3 and had chances at the top of the lane, whether it came apart late. We had a couple of bad, you know, frustrating endings, but just don't have the time that I used to. It's a shame, but we'll continue on, and now it's a little quiet for the horse racing. We'll have some of the big races over in the UAE in the Middle East in the springtime, and then that'll take us into the Derby Trail and things like that. So it's a little quiet now, but if you like to grind it out at Aqueduct like I used to be able to do and like to do, that's just as good as pretty much anything. NASCAR, we were great there again. Ryan Blaney, he couldn't get it done for us last week, but he got it done for us this week. A great, great cashing ticket, because you know why? Not just did we cash Ryan Blaney at 6.5, 7-1, depending on where you shopped, but we got Ryan Blaney live a couple of weeks ago. We gave him out on the show 25-1 to win the championship, to repeat like he did last year. We had him at 24-1 last year. We got him at 25-1 this year, and he is into the finals. So Ryan Blaney joins another ticket that we have live, and Joey Logano. We had him at 13.50, so about 13.5-1. We gave that one out on the show a few weeks ago, and we said if these guys can get into that final four, the prices can't be ignored. You got to take a shot. You got to take a shot with these two guys who have both won championships and are both very good on this stretch of races, both winning races to get into the Final Four at Phoenix on Sunday for the final NASCAR Winston Cup race, NASCAR Cup Series race of the season. These hadn't been Winston Cup in 30 years almost. I miss those days, though. We had 3 additional top 10s in NASCAR. F1, we were 0-2. The rain really turned things upside down there. And I was contemplating giving Max Verstappen out as a play last week, but I went away from it. If I'd have known it was going to rain, I probably should have amended that and added him on there. Some of these teams just perform better in the rain. And you had some weird, weird finishes. You had Alpine guys running 2 and 3. You're never going to see that on a dry track. But interesting race. We'll talk a little bit about that here in a couple of minutes. Cash two more football futures with the Washington Redskins or Commanders, whatever you want to call them. I'm not calling them the Commanders. They're the Redskins. Cash with the Redskins. They got over their win total already. And then the Minnesota Golden Gophers in college football already over their win total as well. We got live tickets on Logano and Blaney, as I said, and we got 3 UEFA Champions League games going on right now. Actually, we got 2 because we lost the first one. So we're looking to shot maybe a 5-1. All right, World Series, we talked about that. We cashed with the -130 for the Dodgers. Dodgers in 5 at 6-1. Bang, bang, cha-ching on those BLS plays. MLB favorites finished 26-15-2 in the postseason. NBA, ATS numbers. I don't talk much NBA because it's just a dreadful product. I told Coach and Chris the other day, I always am conscious to say, you know what, I don't want to develop this, like, predetermined notion about anything, whether it's news, politics, sports, everything. I always want to test myself to be sure that it's really as bad as I think it is, or things are as bad as they say they are, or this information is as good as it really should be, or vice versa. I'm always trying to challenge myself to try to talk myself out of things, because when you do that, you don't stick with ridiculous opinions and you just grow into them and you let them consume you. So I'm always very aware that there's times where things will change and you have to change with them in all walks of life. So I flipped on an NBA game the other day, the Cavaliers, and I think it was the Lakers, and I watched it for 5 minutes, and I said to myself, I'm going to give this a chance. I'm going to give it an honest evaluation of what it was like after 5 minutes. It was worse than I even expected. I think I saw one basket. I saw like 5 clank threes. I saw an air ball. I saw guys fall down and roll around like soccer. Everybody makes fun of soccer players. These basketball players spend a lot of time on the floor. They're always grabbing their eyes and falling. I mean, LeBron's the worst. Anthony Davis, he lives on the floor. So I can't. I'll evaluate again here in a month or so and watch another game and see if it's gotten any better, or I can find some positive to it. But I did not see anything in that NBA in 5 minutes. It was a really, really terrible product with a lot of overpaid great athletes who never break out of a glorified jog, and it is just total trash. But ATS numbers, you can still make money on it. You don't have to watch it, just like I try to do. So if I'm going to play these, I will not be watching the games, but I may follow the trends. Cavs 7-1 ATS, Toronto 7-1 ATS, Golden State 6-1 ATS, Oklahoma City 5-1, and the Brooklyn Nets are 6-2. Cavs off to a great start. They can, I think, break a franchise record, I think, for the best start if they win this evening. College basketball is underway. I want to point this out. I say this every single year, even before we started doing Bettors Last Stand. I say it on the radio when we talk about sports and college basketball. There's no better time to bet college basketball than the first 3 to 4 weeks of the season when you have a heavy, heavy card of football, because odds makers, take it from me, that's the last thing on our mind right now. We have all kinds of other stuff. We have obviously pro and college football in right down in crunch time right now, and the games are meaning more. You got playoffs on the horizon. You have so many markets available in the NFL now that we have to concentrate on. That's where all the attention goes. And you throw in the NBA, which is popular during the week, and the NHL popular during the week. You got NASCAR. You got some other racing circuits that are going on. There's a lot there. You got UFC. These are all things that you can't neglect. And college basketball is on the back burner. I mean, the other night, there was 150 games on Monday night, which is just ridiculous. The first game of the season for all these teams. 150 of them. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, and I talked to odds makers and heard from some other ones about how much time they spent on that, and it was not nearly the time that they'd hoped to be able to. So that'll tell you there was weak numbers out there. And I exposed, you know, some of those myself. I had a really, really good night on Monday night, and it's all you need to do is play line movements. Get up in the morning, look at the overnight odds, and look where the things moved already. So if you got up and a game was at 138 on the total, and when you look at the opener, so you get up, say you get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, you look at the total of a game, it's 138, but it opened at 135.5. Play the game over. Right as it is right there, chances are it'll go up to 139, 140. So betting these games early on line movements early is the way to go right now, because there are guys who do not bet football. A lot of guys don't bet football, especially NFL. There's guys that only will play college basketball, or they'll do college basketball and baseball. A lot of guys out there like that. They are, right now, they're building better power ratings than we as bookmakers can do have time to do. So they are having a major advantage. And you know what happens? When respected money comes into these books and they take max bets on this game over, it's going to bump it up a couple of points. And then you have to tail it and say, all right, it's going to keep going up. And when these guys are laying down max bets early in the daytime, their number is probably like 5 to 6 points better than what we have posted. So you got a good window there. So my point is, look for those line movements, whether they're spreads or totals. They can be unders, they can be overs. Movement with the lines, especially these teams, they're all out of conference games. You don't know a lot about them. The people who are moving these numbers, they're not bookmakers. They are respected money who's moving those numbers. So keep an eye on those. I've always had a very, very, very strong start to college basketball. Probably I've been playing on this trend for a long time. I had a dozen years or more from when I talked to some bookmaker friends before I was even in the business. And they told me about how weak the numbers are at this time of the year in college basketball. So take a shot at it. I'm not saying every game will come through for you, but I think I bet 15 games on Monday, and I want to say I went 12-3. So it's not going to be like that all the time, but you can really, really identify some good moving markets. But you got to jump on them quick. You can't wait for them to go up 6 points, and by then it's a little late. But you can do the alternative of that, and you can, you know, buy them down a little bit, but and just hope for the trend to come through. But you're then paying a premium tax on that, which you don't really want to have to do. So watch those numbers in college basketball. You can find some very, very good value early in the season. All right, Breeders' Cup. I told you we had a we had several winners, but our best winner was Fool Serrano in the very final race. He paid over $28, so nice win there. Again, we were up over 40 units in the Breeders' Cup. Recapping the election, we talked about that last week here on Bettors Last Stand, and I will say, no way would I believe that Trump would have dominated the way that he did. He won, he made gains in minorities, in women, in college age people, minorities of all kinds, whether inner cities. Every single number he put up yesterday was better than even his 16 performance that he won. And it obviously is 2020. And Kamala Harris completely underperformed compared to Joe Biden. Her numbers were terrible, shockingly terrible. And it was hard to believe that you could have got Trump at a pretty fair price for what it turned out to be. Because if you were following the markets last night during the election throughout the night, and this election was over way before it actually was called, I'd say by 9:39, probably by 9:45 Eastern time. I texted several people that I was talking to throughout the evening that, like, I was already calling Georgia and North Carolina because I went through all the counties and I compared all the numbers, and his numbers were just so good. And even early on in the night, it was a great sign when you saw Virginia coming in. I mean, he was leading Virginia until the wee last counts in Fairfax when she put her over. She ended up winning by 4 or 5 points, but the performances, he outperformed every county in Virginia that he had from two cycles ago. So it was a really promising thing. And then by the time the Midwestern states are going, Pennsylvania was already off the board and it was going, and it was shaping up pretty well. North Carolina and Georgia were gimmies. I said to people, count those, they're in. And then Wisconsin was off to a furious start. Pennsylvania was going to come in. You could see that was going to absolutely happen. Ohio with the Senate race, you knew that was going to happen too. That was a guaranteed check mark in Trump's column with the upset in the Senate race. You knew as that continued to progress, and we saw that continuing to widen, he had a complete hold on the blue wall, as they call it in the Midwest. So yeah, it was pretty evident. I would say by the time that I went to bed around midnight, I was 99% confident that it was going to be better than the last time, as far as waking up and seeing a different result than what you went to bed with. It was too big for anything to even factor in. These weren't even close. The races weren't even tight enough where you could have any vote manipulation wouldn't have worked. You would have needed it in every county in the entire state, whatever state you picked, of the 7 battleground states. He won all 7 of them. It's stunning. I never saw that coming, But it shows that identity politics really doesn't work. And, yeah, so hopefully you cleaned up on it. At one point or another throughout the night, he was up to minus 300. He was up to minus 500 in play. He was up to about minus 800, I think I sent to some people. Then it got huge. Then it was minus 12. Then it was minus 2,000. Then it was 3,000. Then it was off the board at a lot of places because it was just there was no, they weren't going to book it anymore. It was a foregone conclusion by 9:30, 9:45 that he was going to be now he's what 47 now, so wow, hard to believe, but nonetheless, our predictions of the outcome not on, but hey, who would have been? I think the highest highest that I mapped out for you last week was 278, and I think he's at 292 now, so yeah. Impressive performance nonetheless, and this gambling on the elections is starting to get bigger and bigger. You got some apps out there now that are trading on like stock commodities, which are fascinating stuff. So when the next maybe midterms come around, we'll talk a little bit about that, because I found probably six or seven races last night that I ended up getting down a little bit of action on, and they were pretty good to me. So politics is another thing, another place you can make some cash if you follow it close enough, and it can be you can expose people, because bookmakers are not used to making numbers on this kind of stuff, and they don't have the resources and the accessories to be able to go out and find information. So you got to stay on top of it, and if you don't follow it every day, it's hard to do that. All right, let's go over to racing now. Talk a little bit of racing as we head into a little break here for the F1 guys. Max Verstappen, as I said, he wins in Brazil. Now we got a few weeks off before we have the race out in Las Vegas. So we'll see what happens in a few weeks there. The weather was a huge factor here. Verstappen gets the job done for Red Bull. Alpine, Gasly, and Ocon run second and third. Hard to imagine. We had Mercedes double top six. George was fourth. Lewis was 10th, so no go there. The McLarens run 6 and 8, not very good. Ferraris, of course, they're back to a DNF. Sainz, DNFs. Leclerc was 5th. So we'll talk more F1 next week and in the following weeks as we get ready for the race in Las Vegas. NASCAR, we're at the final stage here. Ryan Blaney gets the job done last week at Martinsville in a really impressive drive for him. It was one of these races where Chase Elliott was outstanding. Standing in this race and probably deserved to win the race. And I'll also say Brad Keselowski was really good and probably deserved to win the race. Some great strategies, some really good pit stops by Ryan Blaney, gets himself out there. I thought Kyle Larson was going to steal it late. He led 71 laps, but Ryan Blaney, who had a solid car all day long, he hung right in the top five and the top 10 the whole day. He made his move. He basically sandbagged for a while and then went on the absolute attack late in the race, takes over the top spot with, I don't know, a dozen laps, 15 to 20 laps to go, and never look back. He wasn't going to get caught. Chase Elliott tried to run him down, and it didn't. Once he got by Elliott and Larson, it was no turning back for him. So Blaney is into the finals, and we're pretty happy about that because we got that ticket on him. We got one on Logano at big prices. Right now, you got Logano plus 650 to win the race this week. That's just the race. That's a good price. I'll tell you what. Joey Logano is going to pull out all his stops here. He's won here before. He's won the championship here in Phoenix before. I would not talk anybody off that plus 650. Hopefully, you tailed us a few weeks ago and got the plus 1,400. But if you're getting in late, Logano very live here at plus 650 to win it. Blaney plus 350. I like that future ticket better than that plus 350, although he did a really good job last year here. And the thing about Ryan Blaney, he's so consistent. He doesn't have mistakes, knock on wood, but he didn't even win the race last year. He finished second, but he gapped himself. He did perfect. He did everything he needed to do to stay out of trouble, make sure he was right where he needed to be, and counted on what he needed against his competitors and got the job done. So Blaney plus 350, Tyler Reddick at 7-1, William Byron at plus 350. William Byron's a little dangerous here. He got into the playoffs. He was the last guy in last week on the points, and He had an interesting ending there with him and Chris Bell. Bell used that wall ramp thing, and they disqualified him from it, and they didn't allow him in the playoffs. Byron's going to be tricky here. He's going to be tough. I think all these guys. Reddick's live at 7-1. I think he can play him. A couple of guys that I think are going to go all out. You had Ross Chastain win this race last year, and he wasn't in the championship, so he got the win. So don't think that's out of play here, especially for Blaney and Byron, who are points ahead of Logano and Reddick. So what that tells you is they don't necessarily have to win the race. Yeah, it's going to be, if they win the race, they win the championship. But if they don't, then they can try to say, all right, if I'm in the top three or five late in the race, and even if I have three other dudes up there that aren't championship contenders, I don't have to race my tires off with them and get in an accident or have something go wrong. I can pick my spots. I just need to know the spots I got to protect the championship. So Blaney and Byron have that luxury a little bit more than Reddick and Logano do. Those guys would probably need one of those other two previously mentioned guys to go out of the race or have a problem, go lap down, something like that. So some contenders that I think could still win this race who aren't in the championship hunt, Martin Truex keeps saying he's beating around the bush. This would be interesting to see him win his last race in Cup Series. I think it would be cool. He's 16-1. Denny Hamlin, you know, he's always gunning for it, and he's probably really pissed off he didn't make the championship. So 12-1 on him, I think, is a really good price. Ross Chastain won it last year. He's absolutely capable of doing that. Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott has driven great the last 3 or 4 weeks. He has really upped his game. He's been really good. I don't know if he'll be motivated like he was. He was trying to get into the finals, and he just couldn't pull it out. But really different level of Chase Elliott the last few weeks. He's 16-1. I think he could be very live. And then Chase Briscoe at 40-1. He's ran very well here. Maybe him for a top 10, something like that. But I also was talking to Sam today, who unfortunately can't join us. But Kyle Larson at 10-1. He's the kind of guy that gets very motivated when he doesn't make the finals or something like that. So he could be very, very live at 10-1. So we shall see how it all shakes out at Phoenix Raceway in Avondale, Arizona on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Should be a good one. Hopefully you have those Logano and Blaney tickets. We'll be hoping to cash one of those. All right, we're going to take a break here on Bettor's Last Stand, show number 108. We're going to come back, and it's football talk. We'll touch a little bit on hockey briefly, and then it's all football, football, football from all different parts of the world. Bettor's Last Stand, show 108. We'll be back in a moment.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Bettor's Last Stand.
Getting you ready for another busy, busy night of sports. And we'll recap a few things from last week here on the show. We were up over 60 units and went through this in the first part of the program. You can always check out the full version of Bettor's Last Stand at thepineroomstudios.com. You can go to our YouTube page at the Pine Room Studios, and you can find it wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever. Wherever you get your podcast, you can find Bettor's Last Stand, Pine Room Podcast, any of the things under the Pine Room Studios umbrella. So check that out if you want the full version. If you want us to talk a little, you want to hear a little bit more about NASCAR, and as we talked, we wrapped up baseball, talked a little hoops, and a bunch of racing. So as well as Breeders' Cup recap and the recap of the election that we talked about last week. But nonetheless, we were up 60.40 units last week. That was very good. We were up 40 units, over 40 units in our racing Breeders' Cup races last week, with Fool Serrano coming in the final race. That was race number 12. He was 14-1, paid about $2,880. So we had a strong performance there, and we were pretty good in CFL. We weren't 1-3 in the CFL. Champions League 3-0, but we got three matches pending. EPL, we were 6-2-1. We were 8-6-1 in college football, 5-6 in NFL. World Series ticket we cashed with the Dodgers -130, and we also had the Dodgers in 5 for 6-1. We cashed NASCAR last week with Ryan Blaney at 7-1, and we have live tickets with Ryan Blaney for 25-1 and Joey Logano at 13-1 to win the NASCAR championship. It's the final race on Sunday. Like I said, we got some soccer tickets still going, so not bad. We also cashed two more full season NFL and college football futures with the Washington Redskins and the Minnesota Golden Gophers, both going over their win totals. So not a bad week. Let me tap on a little bit of hockey here. We'll do this. I meant to do this in the first segment, but we'll do it here really quickly. First period data so far in NHL season at 10, 12, 13 games in for most of these teams. First period overs. Here we go. These are over 1.5 goals in the first period. The Florida Panthers, 10-3 to the over. Colorado Avalanche, 9-3 to the over. Vegas Golden Knights, 9-3 to the over. Second period overs, 1.5. It'll be Florida, 11-2. Buffalo, 10-2. Washington, 9-2. New Jersey, 11-3. And then third period overs, Montreal, 11-1. Colorado, 11-1. VGK, the Vegas Golden Knights, 11-1. Columbus Blue Jackets 10-1 and the Anaheim Ducks 10-1. I mean, these are strong trends. These are 90-80% type trends. Find the teams, pair them up, see if you can find two teams that are playing that are both ranked in, you know, 75% or better. And these things are hitting at a pretty high rate. So we'll continue to update you on NHL period data. We'll get some goals in the first 10 once we get a little bit stronger run, probably 20 games in. It'll give us a little better barometer of that. Nailers 3-3. They're at Cincinnati. They were at Cincinnati Wednesday. They're in action tonight against Trois Rivières over at the West Bank Arena. And then the Frenchmen will be in town. Three Rivers, that is, in French. It'll be they'll be back tomorrow night as well. So Friday and Saturday over at West Bank Arena. So check out the Nailers. We were over there for opening night. An incredible game. Nailers scored twice in the final 30 seconds to win the game 2-1 after they trailed 1-0 nearly the entire period to the Bloomington Bison. So great game. Entire game. All right, let's get into some things that went on last week. Bad beats. If you had the Yankees in Game 5 of the World Series, I'd say that constitutes a bad beat. You had all that just a bevy of errors in that inning, even if they're not all errors on the scorecard. Garrett Cole not covering first, Judge drops the ball, Volpe, on and on. Just not a pretty inning for the Yankees. They fall apart, and it ends up helping us cash a ticket. So we were happy. Hopefully it didn't hurt you. But it definitely would be a bad beat. This was a tough one in the MAC. MACtion starting up Tuesdays and Wednesdays from now on. Toledo and Eastern Michigan under 54.5. It was 22-22 with 2:36 to go in the game. So obviously you're sweating out a little bit of overtime. You don't want to go overtime. It's the last thing you really want. But you're thinking, well, if I can just get one of these teams to kick a field goal or something where they both don't score, I'll probably be okay. Toledo scores up 29-22 with 1:56 to go in the game. Fast forward to 7 seconds left. So it was 1:56, so just about 1:50. Eastern Michigan has the ball on a Toledo 37-yard line. The quarterback takes this ridiculously deep drop like he was going to throw a Hail Mary. I didn't really know you had to put all your arm into 37 yards, but this dude goes back to like the 46-yard line and fires it up in the air, and of course there's an Eastern Michigan guy just right there. A bunch of guys behind him, he's right in the front and goes right to him. Touchdown, they went for two, didn't get it, 29-28 final. So you get burned twice with two touchdowns inside of 2.5 minutes. That stings pretty badly. Industry news, election news. This is an interesting tidbit. If you're a Missouri resident, Missouri becomes the 39th state to legalize sports betting after Amendment 2 passed in Missouri last night on election night by just 7,000 votes. So it's pretty tight. It was like 50-some percent to 49-some percent, so about 7,000 vote difference there. So Missouri is the 39th, almost said school, but 39th state to add sports wagering to their state. So we'll see what happens there, if it's going to be brick and mortar, if it's going to be apps. I'm assuming it's going to be both. And Missouri was the only state that had sports betting on the ballot in this November election. NFL favorites 14-1, 10-5 ATS last week. NFL favorites on the season now 71-62-3 ATS. Overs 72-64-2. Best cover teams, the Lions, of course. We talk about them every week. They just smash people. Washington Redskins 7-1-1. Indianapolis Colts 7-2. The Stullers 6-2. Minnesota 6-2. And Kansas City 5-2-1. It's good. I think that should be 6-2 because they're 8-0 right now. I don't think they had one where they pushed, but I could be wrong depending on what your number is. No, I bet you know what? I think that's probably 5-3 now or 6-2 if that because they did not cover on Monday night. Nonetheless, still a strong start for them. Week 9 lopsided ticket counts here in the NFL. It was 90% of tickets on the Redskins, minus 3.5. That one a winner. 86% on Buffalo, minus 6. No good with that one. 72% on the Saints, minus 7. They lost outright to Carolina and fired Dennis Allen. As a result, 77% on Philadelphia, minus 7.5. Jacksonville comes in the back door there. Was a winner for us here in Bettors Last Stand, but a loser if you had the Eagles. 77% on the Lions, minus the 3, and they are just dominating people. And clearly, probably the best team in the NFC. Week 10, lopsided ticket counts in the NFL. You got 90% of people on the Minnesota Vikings right now, minus the points. 86% on Atlanta, minus the points. 86% on Buffalo, minus the points. 84% on Philadelphia, minus the points. And 82% on the LA Chargers, minus the points, heading into week number 10. Best college football ATS teams, Indiana 8-1, BYU 7-1, Minnesota 7-1-1, Army 6-1-1, Eastern Michigan, we just talked about in bad beats, 7-2. They cover because of that. Tulane 7-2 and Vanderbilt 7-2. Look ahead line in the summer. This is interesting. Notre Dame was minus 4.5 back in the summer at South Bend against Florida State. Well, guess what it is this week? Minus 24.5. So you got a nice 24 or a 20-point middle there. If you had any action on that early in the season, you could. If you played Notre Dame back in the summertime, you're sitting pretty good. You could play Florida State and have a 20-point range to middle that number. So, good stuff there. Week 10 lopsided counts in college football. 94% on Navy. Minus 11. They lost the game outright to Rice. We were on that one. That was our best bet. I don't know what happened there. I watched a little bit of that game when I got back from the Naylor game, and it was Navy was so sloppy. It was very, very odd. I very, very surprised they would look that bad 2 weeks in a row. 92% on Indiana. Minus 7.5. That is a winner. Indiana just continues to be impressive. Just literally everywhere you look, Indiana just is really, they're a good team. You just got to take them serious now. 88% on North Carolina, minus 2.5. That one's a winner. Army minus 22.5. Army, it was 86% of tickets on Army. Army was a winner, minus 22.5. 86% on Kansas State, minus 13. They lost the game outright. 84% on Oregon, minus 15. They won. 84% on Vanderbilt. That was a win, plus 6.5. 83% on Illinois, plus 3. We had that one here, and that was a loss. So not very good for us. 83% on Texas A&M, minus 2.5. Now, we were on the other side of that one. We had South Carolina money line. We had South Carolina plus 3. So we were very good in that game. And Texas A&M is about what I expected them. They're just okay. 93% on Oklahoma, minus 34.5 against Maine. If they couldn't cover that, they were never going to cover again. They did get the job done. Week 11, lopsided tickets in college football, 91% on Army, minus 5.5. You have 88% on Pitt, minus 7.5. Pitt coming off of a not-so-good performance last week, but we'll see if the Panthers can bounce back at home. Let's see. Where do we leave off? Oh, Miami, minus 11, 88% on the Miami Hurricanes, minus 11, 86% on Clemson, minus 6.5, 84% of tickets on Iowa State, minus 3, 84% on BYU, minus 3.5, 84% on Boise State, minus 24, 83% on Minnesota Golden Gophers, minus 6, and 81% on Georgia, minus 2.5. All right, CFL playoff time here. Yeah, I know everybody's looking forward to that. We were not good in the CFL last week, and I'm actually pretty happy this is about to be over with. So Toronto was the team I recommended, maybe a little play on them in the futures market for the Grey Cup. They're still alive. They're plus 260 now. I probably wouldn't get on them. But Toronto at Montreal is the first game. That is a Saturday kick at 3 o'clock. Montreal minus 1.5. 52.5 is the total. It looks like Winnipeg and Montreal on a collision course to figure out which team's better. They've won the last 3 of these Grey Cups. 6 of the last 10 Toronto-Montreal games have went over. Toronto was 2-1 against Montreal on the season. Toronto catching 1.5. As I said, total 52.5. I'm leaning Toronto here. I'm just going to take a shot and take the points, and they've beat them twice, and they beat them once at Montreal. So maybe they can get the job done here again. Total worries me. Two pretty decent offenses, so we'll stay away. We'll just go with Toronto plus the points. Saskatchewan at Winnipeg, the nightcap 6:30 kick there. Be Winnipeg minus 4.5, the total 47.5. Winnipeg 2-1 against Saskatchewan this year. I think they're going to be a little too good for them, so we're going to play them minus the points, and we're also going to go under 47.5. I think Winnipeg's defense, which has been pretty good all season, even back when their offense was not good, is good enough to close down Saskatchewan, so we'll go Winnipeg and under in the Canadian football semifinals with the Grey Cup coming up. I think they take a week off in between, I think, like our Super Bowl. So the Super Bowl of Canadian football right around the corner. All right, English Premier League. It was good for us. It's been good for us the last few weeks. Champions League's been doing pretty well for us, but let's get into the card here in the English Premier League. It'll be Saturday starting it off. They're all, I think these are all 10 a.m.s. Most of them 10 a.m.s. A couple, actually, we've got a 12:30 and 3 here. Let's go with Bournemouth and Brentford. And old Brentford, we talk about them just about every week. They're like the darlings of Better's Last Day. And last week, oh, what a debacle. What a debacle on Monday. We almost gave you three winners out on Monday. We had Brentford to win. We had both teams to score. We had over 2.5. And, oh, Brentford surrenders goals late in stoppage time and then another goal to lose to Fulham. It was a gut-wrenching loss. Brentford is 4-1 at home, and the home team has won 6 out of 7 in this matchup, Bournemouth and Brentford. Brentford right now plus 145, Bournemouth plus 180. We're going back to the well with Brentford. We're going to take them plus 145 to bounce back at home. 3 of the last 5 and went over there. Might not be a bad one to play both teams to score. Fulham and Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace coming in here, plus 165. Fulham also plus 165, 240 on the draw. So pretty even match here. I like both teams to score. The last three matches between these two teams have drawn. So maybe that's the way to go. And the home team is winless in the last 6. So they've drawn some matches, but they haven't won any. So we're going both teams to score. 3 of the last 5 have stayed under here. I think BTTS is your way to go. And that one, Manchester City, oh, man. When's the last time you said Manchester City's lost 3 in a row? Well, they have. They just got embarrassed in the Champions League yesterday by Sporting. They lost to Bournemouth. Inexcusable. They lost to Spurs. This is really weird. They're really hampered with injuries. Rodri out, De Bruyne messed up, Stones out, Kyle Walker limited. They got a lot of issues. So I like Brighton here. Brighton plus 330 at home. Right now you play on these teams that are slumping. In City, minus 135, I can't take that. 310 on the draw. Even if you do a draw, no bet for Brighton, I think you're going to get a small plus price. And they've lost 6 straight to City. So you know they're going to want to try to say, all right, we got them down a little bit here. We got to beat them. If we can't beat them this time, we'll never beat them. So let's go both teams to score. But I like Brighton in the game either on the money line plus 330, or that would be the three-way money line, or the draw no bet market where you can get a little bit less of a price. But if your bet ties, then you get your money back. Aston Villa at Liverpool. Liverpool is absolutely dominating Europe. They're dominating the English Premier League right now. They're the best team. They're in the best form. City's a mess. Arsenal's a mess. Liverpool can really separate at the top if they keep kicking it in gear. Probably going to be a good play for them. They rolled in Europe yesterday. Aston Villa lost in Europe today, so they're going to be coming back a little hungover off of a disappointing performance in Belgium. And we'll see what they got. But I like this game over. I think over 2.5 or 3 if you can find it. The last 5 have went over in this. And I think both teams will be a little bit exhausted. And you'll see – actually, Liverpool's probably not going to be exhausted. They played well, and they're going to be riding high. I think you'll see goals from Liverpool. This might be one of those games where you put the little parlay with the money line Liverpool in the over 2.5, and you're probably going to get 3 goals out of Liverpool alone. So we'll go over in Villa and Liverpool. Sunday matchup, Leicester City and Manchester United. Manchester United, of course, fires Erik ten Hag. He Ruud van Nistelrooy took over the club last week. He's just handling it until they get their new appointee in town. He gets a draw against Chelsea. We had that one. We cashed that one to both teams to score in that match last Sunday. I think Manchester United will probably come out pretty pumped up here, and I think I'd expect them to win this game by a couple goals against Leicester City. Leicester City not playing very well. United's won the last 3 in the series, and 3 of the last 5 have went over the total. So I'd play United on the Asian handicap, maybe -0.75, and expect them to win by about 2 goals. Newcastle at Nottingham Forest. It'll be Newcastle plus 165, Nottingham Forest plus 185, 210 on the draw. Like both teams to score in this match. Let's see. The Nottingham Forest has won 3 in a row overall. Newcastle's won 2 in a row overall. So both these teams playing pretty well right now. The road team's won the last four, so maybe that sets up for Newcastle, and four of the last five have went over. So I think both teams' score is good, but I also like over 2.5 in this match. I think you're going to see some goals between Newcastle and Nottingham, who's picked up their scoring in the last few weeks. Ipswich and Tottenham, also a Sunday match. Ipswich hasn't won a match in 11. They've drawn a couple. They drew last week, but they haven't won in 11 matches. The home team has won 5 out of 6 in this. Spurs is the home team. Probably going to be Spurs, but I'm not laying $4. There's no chance of that. It's just not going to happen, and we just maybe cash another ticket there in the Champions League. We'll get back to that. All right, Ipswich and Tottenham, I like this game over the 3 or 3.5 out there. I think there'll be some goals. Ipswich has struggled to defend. Tottenham played pretty well offensively last week, got some goals late in the game that we cashed a ticket on. So we'll go back to the well with Tottenham at home. We'll go over the 3 or 3.5, whatever number you can find that is the best. Arsenal and Chelsea, the finale this week. This is 11:30 a.m. Kickoff at Stamford Bridge on Sunday. It'll be Chelsea plus 185. Arsenal, a plus 145 favorite, 245 on the draw. Chelsea right now has had points in 7 straight at home. So that's really good. Arsenal is struggling badly. They've won 5 out of 6 against Chelsea, but this isn't the same Arsenal team. This team's hit a flat spot. They are not playing with the incredible vigor that they had last year and early in this year. They've hit some kind of wall. I know they've had their captain out, but they were deep enough that it shouldn't matter. They've really took a dip. I like Chelsea here. I think plus 185, fair price for them. If you don't want to play Chelsea, maybe I'd be leery about both teams to score here. I could see Arsenal not scoring in this game, and Antoine Griezmann, goal scorer for Atletico Madrid, to now put them ahead of PSG 2-1. Chelsea are playing a lot better defensively. So I could see Arsenal struggle to score goals here. So I would not count them in to score a goal here. I could see Chelsea scoring 1 or 2. I think they'll score for sure. But I like Chelsea in the match. You can play them a draw, no bet if you're worried about the draw. But I like Chelsea plus the 185. Quick look ahead. Soccer futures. Still pretty early here in this new Champions League format. And it's a pretty fascinating format. So the top 8 teams get a bye to the round of 16. The seeds 9 through 16 then will face off against the next bottom 8, which will take you down to 24. So you'll have 9 play 24 and so on. So it's going to be pretty interesting. And I think they're two-legged, matchups. So great stuff here. I'm enjoying this so far. It's lent to a lot of exciting games because, as I said really early on, teams cannot afford to fall downward. Like, you can't get buried behind 9 clubs. It's not like chasing down 2 or 3 like you did in a 4-team group. You're chasing down 30 teams, 32 teams. It's just not going to happen. You can't get into a hole. So the team that I've observed, in my opinion, who's been the best so far without question, and it might be premature, and a lot of times what happens in this tournament is you're playing a domestic league, so you got peaks and valleys where you'll flatten out. Arsenal's going through one of those right now. City's going through one of those. By the time late spring comes around, I'm not certain Barcelona will be playing the best. If they're playing the way they are right now, they're going to walk through this thing. Real Madrid's hit stumbling blocks. Bayern Munich's had issues. Bayer Leverkusen's had problems. We talked about the English clubs, all of which have had struggles. This is setting up incredibly well for Barcelona right now. I would say they're almost a shoo-in to get a bye in the first round, but they're playing great. They're winning the game 5-2. I mean, they're beating some pretty good teams. They're going into, Red Star Belgrade is a very hostile place to play, but the talent level is not very good, so I'd expect them to win today. But they're playing the best of anybody right now, and it's 6.5-1, 7-1. Maybe worth a play on the futures market if you're looking for somebody to get involved with in the UEFA Champions League. All right, rolling along here, Bettors Last Stand, show number 108 coming to you from the Pine Room Studios, and Pine Room Watchdog Studios, that is, in downtown Wheeling, getting you ready for high school football action here on the WatchdogNetwork.com. Both games on WatchdogNetwork.com tonight. West Virginia Hoops taking over WKKX and WVOY this evening. West Virginia college football, West Virginia basketball tonight, West Virginia football tomorrow, noon against Cincinnati on the road. So that pregame will be coming your way at 9 a.m. here, WatchdogNetwork.com, WKKX, WVLY. All right, Let me remind you also about the Brownie House, a great sponsor and just a wonderful partner. YesBrownies.com. Visit there today. Use the promo code PINEROOM for 20% off your order. And thanks to our very, very, very wonderful Football Friday sponsors, Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club. We were back out at Gumby's in Elm Grove again today. So we were happy to be out there as always as we wind down our Football Fridays here on The Watchdog. We've been doing Nailing It Down segments, getting you ready to go for Nailer season. We've had one home game so far, but two more coming up this weekend. So we'll have another Nailing It Down segment each and every Friday here on The Watchdog as well. All right, let's get into the pro football action here. Starting it off, it's a game in Germany. It's a 9:30 kick on Sunday morning. It's the Giants and the Panthers. Giants minus 6, total 41.5, open 3.5, up to 6. Sharp money on the Giants. I can't lay 6 points with the Giants against anybody. I would lean Panthers in this game, but I don't really have a play. It's a game in Germany. I don't know about what the pitch is going to be like. We got on some unders in London earlier. I think we were 2-1. So lean to the under there, but no real play for me. I'll BLS underscore PRP, as always. I'll post the plays that I end up finalizing for the weekend. Buffalo and Indianapolis. Buffalo minus 4, total 46. I like the Colts in this game. I think the Colts will be a little bit sneaky. Flacco gives them a shot of being dangerous, and I'll take that shot. I think they can compete here with the Bills, and I like them plus a little bit over a field goal. I think Buffalo's defense is still a little bit iffy to me. Very good team, but a little iffy on defense. Very similar to the Ravens and some other teams. New England. New England Patriots at the Chicago Bears. Bears minus 6.5, total 39.5. How on earth can the Bears be given 6.5? I don't like New England coming off a win because it's tough for them, a team like that, to come back back-to-back, but they've been playing a little bit better lately, and Drake May is a little better than I expected. Bears 3-0 ATS at home, straight up in ATS at home. So maybe the Bears, but no real play. I can't lay 6.5 with that outfit. The Bears are a mess. Eberflus is out for coffee. He's out for lunch. He's out to dinner. He doesn't know what the hell's going on. They got to get rid of that guy. He's been nothing but a detriment to the team. You got players now storming out of the locker room, not even listening to the post-game talks. You got them making comments to the media about things. It's not good for the Bears. They got a lot of promise, but they're really their biggest obstacle is a coaching staff that's completely inferior. Denver at Kansas City, big division matchup. KC minus 8.5, total 41.5. I like the under in this game. Denver defense stinks. Denver offense stinks. Kansas City defense is very good. Denver defense, so-so. They got exposed by the Ravens, which we said they would because they've played no one. I lean Chiefs, but I can't lay 8.5. Chiefs are just not covering right now, but they're winning every game. So Chiefs money line and under the 41.5, I guess, is the way to go. Parlay those together. Don't do it often, but once in a while. Minnesota at Jacksonville. Jacksonville catching 4 at home. The total 45.5 now, down from the opener of 47.5. I like this game under 2. Sharp money was on it as well, so I already bet it under 47.5. It's down to 45.5. I still like it under 45.5. Atlanta at New Orleans. New Orleans catching 3 at home. 46.5 the total. New Orleans fires Dennis Allen. Atlanta playing hot. They won 5 of 6. 4-1 ATS in the last 5. This open pick. Now Falcons minus 3. Man, I don't want to lay 3 at the Falcons in a division game. I like over a tad here, but no real play on this game. San Francisco at Tampa Bay. San Francisco minus 5.5, the total 51. Christian McCaffrey supposed to be back, but we'll see. Tampa's played 6 straight overs, the total 51. It's high for a reason. It opened 47.5. It's up to 51. Small lean to the over, but no play in that game. Pittsburgh at Washington. The Commanders. Redskins, minus 3, total 45.5. I like over in this game. A lot of people are saying under because of Lattimore coming in, some trades that were made from some of these teams. Steelers get Mike Williams. They get another pass rusher. I think over here. I think Russell Wilson makes this team a little bit more of an over team. I think Jayden Daniels will make some plays against the Steelers. I like this game over 45.5. Tennessee at the L.A. Chargers. Chargers minus 7.5, the total 38. Tennessee Titans 1-6 and 1 ATS on the season. It's absolutely terrible. Chargers 3-0 at home, 5-1 ATS run right now as favorites. That's pretty good. I like the game under, though. Charger defense is really tough. It's just a stifling defense, and I'll take over under 38. I don't care who quarterbacks for the Titans. It's under all the way for me in that one. Philadelphia at Dallas. Philadelphia minus 7, total 42. Open Philly 3, up to 7. Woo. Home team 9-1 in the series. Wow. That's pretty crazy. So, or 9-1 ATS run in the series, that should be. Dallas, they're a mess. Cooper Rush will start. Maybe that makes him more stable. They looked pretty good when he came in the other day. I can't lay 7 with Philadelphia. I told you last week, Philadelphia is going to get exposed here whenever they play somebody who's in good form and is healthy. I don't trust Philadelphia. They almost let it get away last week. I don't think Sirianni knows what the heck he's doing. He's really just closing his eyes and praying for the best because he almost blew that game to Jacksonville. And if Lawrence wasn't so bad and Peterson was so bad, they probably would have lost that game outright and they would have been calling for his head. Bring me the head of Nick Sirianni. Yeah, that's what it would have turned out in Philadelphia. So I'm going with Dallas plus the 7. I think Dallas, everybody's got them written off. Cooper Rush usually does a pretty good job stabilizing a team. We'll go with the Cowboys at home. Jets at Cardinals. Cardinals minus 1, 46 the total. I got nothing here. Lean to the Cardinals. I think whenever you see a number like that where you think the inferior team's favored, you want to play on that because a lot of times the bookmakers are going to be more right than you. So lean to Arizona. Don't trust the Jets still. Lions at Texans. This team I do trust. Lions minus 3.5, total 49, 8-1 run for the Lions indoors. So they're indoors again, even though it's on the road in Houston. Houston got a lot of situations going on with their team. We talked about that in the preseason. I thought they'd have a slight setback. And they have a little, but they're still not bad. And when he lost Nico Collins, it was a huge loss. He may play this week. That could open the door for an over, maybe a shootout in this game. But I'll take the Lions right now at a pretty cheap 3, 3.5 on the road to take out the Texans. Monday Night Football, Miami at the L.A. Rams. Rams minus 2.5, total 50.5. Miami offense, they've been moving it pretty good within the 20s. They still can't score very often, so I'm going to take a shot that continues. And we're going to go under 50.5 on Monday Night Football, Rams and Dolphins. All right, rolling along here, Bettors Last Stand, show number 108. Coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios, getting you ready for high school football action or WVU basketball, whatever it is you're going to choose to listen to on the Watchdog Network this fine evening. All right, let's get into the college card. It's week 11 already. Playoff seedings are getting discussed right now. You have Oregon at the top. You got Ohio State in the mix. It's too early to really even talk about that. There's going to be a lot of shuffling. These SEC schools are going to be beating up on each other. You got Ole Miss and Georgia playing. You're going to have two of them playing each other in the championship game. You got Ohio State and Indiana still got to play in the Big Ten. So still a little early to start making judgments about who's probably going to be in there. The top end teams, Oregon, it would be a struggle for them to not make it. And so for some of the teams that are up at the top, they could take a loss and still stay in. So should be interesting when we get close to that. Friday night games, Cal Bears. Oh boy, they're at the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Cal minus 7, total 55.5. Every loss the Cal has, and we have Cal on it over their win total ticket. I think we need one more win, I think, to get the 5. They're 4-4. And they've lost every one of their games. They've lost by 5 points or less of the 4 losses they have. So maybe Cal here. 7 on the road, though. I don't love that. So I'm going to sit this one out, see what that line does. Maybe play Cal if it goes down under 7. Rice at Memphis, also a Friday night kick here, 9 o'clock on ESPN2. It'll be Memphis minus 9, total 52.5. Rice off a huge win. Memphis off a bad loss. I got to come in on Memphis, which is weird. The numbers moving against us. Memphis was opened 11, down to 9. I'll take that. If you feel really good about a game and it moves against you and you still feel very, very good and you check, make sure everything's in order, the personnel's all right there and everything's normal, sometimes you get a better number and sometimes the line movement is wrong. Iowa at UCLA, Iowa minus 5.5, total 44.5. I like UCLA in this game. I think Iowa is going to be one of these Jekyll and Hyde teams. They play all right 1 week, and they beat up on Wisconsin. But going out west, and I told you last week, I think UCLA is getting a little bit better. I like them at home plus 5.5. New Mexico at San Diego State. It would be San Diego State minus 3, total 66.5. That also a Friday night game tonight. Nothing on that game. Maybe under in that game, 66.5, but nothing sticks out to me there. Those teams both not very good. Noon kicks on Saturday. It'll be the Florida Gators at the Texas Longhorns. First meeting since 1940. I saw this on the schedule the other day, and I thought to myself, I don't think I've ever seen Texas and Florida ever play each other, and surely I didn't, because it was 1940 the last time they played. Texas minus 21.5, the total 48 in this game. Florida played Georgia really tough. They had a backup quarterback in there. I kind of like this game over. I think there could be some points, but nothing else other than that. West Virginia at Cincinnati. Both teams coming off a bye. Cincinnati 4-1-1 ATS run. It'll be the Bearcats -5 at home. Total 56.5. I like this game over, but I like Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a tough place to play. I've been there to a couple Miami games. It was not an easy place to go and win, and Miami did not win there. But Miami wasn't very good then. Nonetheless, tough place to play. Mountaineers are going to be in for a tough one, but I think they'll score some points. So we'll go over the 56.5 and take the Bearcats -5. Miami Hurricanes, oh, speak of the devil. They are in a revenge spot here against Georgia Tech. They're on the road laying 11. Public's on Miami. That's a worry. But if you remember last year, it was the Mario Cristobal collapse game of the season where he elected not to kneel down and they fumbled and Georgia Tech ended up beating them. It was a disgusting loss and derailed the entire season. So can we see revenge here? I don't know. Georgia Tech's been a scrappy team all season long. I think the over is probably a good one because Miami cannot stop anybody. Navy at South Florida, Navy -3, total 57.5. Navy, back-to-back losses. They were bad last week. All their playoff dreams blowing up in their faces. Now they might lose 3 or 4 games, but I like them this week. We're going back on the horse. South Florida, very undisciplined team. We'll go Navy -3 on the road. Syracuse at BC, BC -2, the total 53. Syracuse, a massive comeback win. We cashed a ticket on that game. They come back and beat Virginia Tech at home in a crazy one. BC off a bye. They've got 3 straight losses heading to the bye. But I like BC this week. I think Syracuse, a little bit of a letdown, a big emotional win. Now they got to go to Chestnut Hill. The Eagles will be ready for them, -2. Purdue at Ohio State, 38 the number here, 53.5. I don't even have to tell you who's favored. 4-2 ATS versus Purdue at home. The Buckeyes are on that run. This is just a nameless score game. Ohio State did not play well last week. I thought Penn State let him off the hook. James Franklin continues his abysmal coaching. Two shots inside the 1 yard line. Four play series inside the 1 yard line. Gets 0 points out of it. Ohio State got let off the hook last week, and I think that they will benefit from that, and they're probably going to beat Purdue by about 50. So Buckeyes are nothing there for me. Minnesota at Rutgers, Minnesota -6, 46.5 the total. Minnesota, they outlasted Illinois last week. We had Illinois. Minnesota played well. Public all over the Golden Gophers, people loving them. And Rutgers, they've been absolutely atrocious for the last couple of games. We're going to go back to the well. We're going to think Shiano maybe gets things corrected on the bye week. We'll take the Rutgers Scarlet Knights +6 at home. Moving down, Marshall at Southern Miss. Southern Miss has no FBS wins. They're 1-7 on the season. Heard laying 14 on the road. I think that's probably a pretty good play. I know 14 is never something that you want to lay on the road in a game, but Southern Miss seems to be a place that might not be very intimidating, so we'll go with Marshall on the road. Georgia at Ole Miss, Georgia -2.5, total 55. Georgia 11-1 straight up, 8-4 ATS against Ole Miss in the series. I'm leaning Georgia here. I think they're the better team. I thought Georgia played very bad last week and still won the game. I think they were looking ahead. I think they thought they caught Florida on a bad year and they could just limp through the game. Carson Beck was terrible. He won't be that bad this week. We're going with the Bulldogs and probably a little bit of a lean to the over in that game. We had Ole Miss under last week, and that did not work out very well. Indiana hosting Michigan. Indiana -14.5, the total 49. Indiana's beat Michigan one time since 1988. Well, they're going to try to run it up on them here today or on tomorrow. I think Indiana wins this game. I don't like laying 14.5, but I could see them winning this game by like 4 touchdowns. They're that good, at least from my eye test, they're that good. Iowa State at Kansas. Iowa State laying 3 on the road. 50.5 is the total. They've lost back-to-back games, like back-to-back one-score losses for Iowa State. Public is on them. I was going to be on them, but the public's on them, so I'm a little bit worried about that. But I do like them in that bounce-back spot, but I'm going to stay away from that public action. So check back with me, BLS_PRP. Maybe I make that a play, maybe not, depending on what the money does later in the week. Duke at North Carolina State, sorry. Duke on a 3-1 ATS run in the series. They're catching 3 against the Wolfpack. 52.5 is the total. No play on that one for me. Duke was decent on offense last week, but Miami's defense is so bad. So I don't know. Maybe over, but nothing real. Nothing stands out to me there. JMU coming in off a bye, -16.5 against a really bad Georgia State team. Lean towards JMU there to blow them out, but still, laying out kind of points is just, it's not something I enjoy doing. Army at North Texas. Now, I do have an opinion on this game. It'll be Army -5.5 on the road. Total 63.5. I like the under. I know North Texas has a good offense, but
I think you're going to see Army control the ball like usual. Public all over Army. Everybody loves Army. I'm going to go against them here. I'm going to be on the under in the game, and North Texas comes in the losers of two straight. I like them to battle back here, and they're catching around 5.5, maybe even see a 6 out there. I'll take North Texas plus the points against Army. I think Army wins that game probably by a field goal, maybe 4 points, just by the skin of our teeth. South Carolina at Vanderbilt, it'll be the Gamecocks on the road, -3.5, total 46.5. So this is a classic spot where South Carolina off a letdown after a huge win against Texas A&M, but they're 15-0 against Vanderbilt all time. So sharp money's on them too. So that kind of scared me off of Vanderbilt. I leaned Vanderbilt, but like I said, sharp money and 15-0, yeah, that's hard to beat. But South Carolina, this is not a good spot for them. They're coming off of a huge win. People are telling them they're really good now, and Vanderbilt has really been a tough place to play so far this season for anybody. Oklahoma State at TCU, sharp money on the over in this one. It's a 67-point total. Horned Frogs -11.5 in the game. No real opinion there. Probably lean towards the over. Maryland at Oregon. Oregon -25 in this game, the total 57.5. The Oregon offense is getting heated up, that is for sure. But we're going to go against them again. We're going to go under in the game and see if we can squeak it out as they host Maryland at home. Mississippi State at Tennessee. Tennessee -24, the total 61. Sharp money on the over in this game, too. I don't like that at all. I think Tennessee's got a pretty good offense, but I think the better play is the Volunteers. I think they'll absolutely massacre Mississippi State. I don't think Mississippi State will be able to stop them, and I don't think Mississippi State will score on Tennessee. Alabama at LSU, what a game. Alabama -3 on the road, a total 58.5. Man, this to me seems like an absolute play on LSU, but I don't know about Brian Kelly, so I'm going to pass on it. I am going to go over the total in this game, though, over the 58.5. I think Bama's offense should be a little bit more dialed in off of a bye week. LSU, they'll be able to score. I don't know if they'll be able to stop anybody. Florida State at Notre Dame. We talked about this game already. The 4.5 up to 24.5. Well, now you got it up to 26.5 even some places. 42.5 is the total. This is Irish in a landslide. Florida State's really, truly one of the worst teams that I've seen play all season long, and they pretty much quit. Oklahoma at Missouri. Missouri opened 2.5. Now Oklahoma, a 3-point road favorite. So if you're following the money there, that says the Sooners are the play. Can't say that I believe in that. And then a whiteout, Peacock, 8 o'clock, right off of a terrible loss to Ohio State at home last week. I don't even understand why you do a whiteout. Your loser program, your loser coach, Penn State, who will probably be in the playoff if they win this game. They are a 13.5-point favorite against Washington. Washington coming off a win against USC. I would lean Penn State in this game. I hate to say it. They're just better than Washington. They just can't beat anybody really good. So we'll lean Penn State, but disappointing performance last week by the Nittany Lions for sure. Virginia and Pitt. Virginia at Pitt. Pitt -7.5, total 57.5. Sharp money on the under in this game. Pitt 4-3 in the series. Public money on Pitt. I would lean towards the under here. Virginia a little better on defense than I really originally thought. Pitt, we'll see. We'll see what they're made of. Can they bounce back after a tough loss to SMU? Nevada at Boise State. Boise -24.5, total 60.5. Public money all over Boise. They've been, they've got Genty, the running back. He's a Heisman front runner now. They're getting a lot of eyeballs on him. They're getting a lot of steam. It's always Boise and over. So probably best to go under in this game. Or I wouldn't play Nevada. I can't recommend Nevada no matter what. BYU, then you got the Holy War here. BYU. And BYU's having the season that Utah probably should have had. Utah has been a complete and utter catastrophe, a unmitigated disaster for the Utah Utes. BYU -4 on the road, the total 40.5. Public on BYU. I've seen this game where the other team was favored by 3 touchdowns, one team favored by 3 touchdowns, and the other one wins. So I can't tell you that Utah wouldn't win this game, but it sure doesn't seem possible. But if you watch the teams play over the last few weeks, but the Holy War, always a good one. Probably over in this game. 40.5 is a little bit low for me. Utah State at Washington State to conclude the night. 10:30 kick. Washington State -20.5. Total 70. That's a lot of points. I'll go under in that game, but no real strong play on that one. Let's see. What was my best bet? I got to find my best bet of the week in college football. Where is it? I don't have it circled here. Where is my best bet? Oh, right here. It is the Mountaineers and the Bearcats over the total. That is the best bet here on Bettor's Last Stand, our best bet of the week in college football. And then in the pros, my best bet is the, man, I didn't circle either one of these. I got to or star them the way that I wanted to do. Okay. So our best bet here is Minnesota and Jacksonville under 47.5. So those are our two best bets. That's going to do it for us here on Bettor's Last Stand. You're listening to show number 108 here on the Watchdog Network as we get you ready for West Virginia basketball and high school football on WatchdogNetwork.com. Wheeling Park coming up against John Marshall. That one coming your way at 7 o'clock. And then it's Central and Shady Spring right after us here, WatchdogNetwork.com. They're on the road. WVU basketball getting ready to tip off at 6 o'clock as well, following us here. And then WVU at Cincinnati tomorrow at noon. So should be a good day of action. Check it out, WatchdogNetwork.com, today and tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow. And enjoy your weekend as we get closer and closer to Thanksgiving. Hard to believe. We turned back the clocks. It's getting dark early. It needs to cool down a little bit. Got the election behind us. Time to move forward and see if we can get some winners. So up over 60 units last week. We'll take that anytime. Hopefully we can come somewhere near that this week. So until then, I will see you next week on Bettor's Last Stand. Have a safe and wonderful weekend. Good luck in your wagers. And keep it tuned here to WatchdogNetwork.com as we conclude the Football Friday presented by Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club. And, of course, our great sponsor, the Brownie House. Visit YesBrownies.com today for 20% off your order. Use the promo code PINEROOM. We will see you on the pregame show over on WatchdogNetwork.com, getting you ready for Wheeling Park and John Marshall. If you're catching Mountaineer basketball or the Central game on WatchdogNetwork.com, we will see you next week in the Watchdog Studios on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.